The following shiur has been presented by Rav Moshe Zev Granik, member of the Beis Havad Dayanus Koilel, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
For contract and iska draft and review, wills and estates, or other halachic services, please call 1-888-485-8223 or visit thehalachacenter.org. For contract and iska draft and review, wills and estates, or other halachic services, please call 1-888-485-8223 or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Ches Med Aleph has a discussion about the halacha of Tumas Yodis, and the Gemara wants to say that we should learn out the halacha of Yodis by food, by Zroim, the halachas of Yodis applied by food. We should learn it out from the halachas of Tanner. Because the Torah says that there's a halacha of a Yad by a Tanner, that if I have an oven, a klicheres, kalim, that have handles, the handles also become tame. And the Torah says there's a halacha of Yodis by food items. So the Gemara says, why does it have to say both? Why doesn't the Torah just write the halacha of Yodis why didn't the Gemara just write the halacha of Yodis by Tanner, by Kalim, and we'll learn out from one to the other? So the Gemara says, no, you can't learn food out of a Kalim. Because there's a fundamental difference when it comes to Tumah between food and Kalim. Because when it's true that utensils, kalim, person makes a kli, the halacha is this mekabel tumah, it could become tame, something tame touches it, and the halacha is by food that becomes touches some by something tame, also becomes tame. But there's a big difference, because by food, by peiros, there's a halacha that's called hechsher. The Torah says that all food items, although they'll become tame, they will never become tame until something happens to them. They'll never become tame until they become wet, after they're detached from the ground. After you detach the food from the ground, after it grows, if it never got wet, if water, one of the Zayin Mashkin, one of the seven liquids fell, if water never fell on this food, it doesn't make a difference. Any tumah that touches it does not make this food tummy. That is the halacha of Hechsher. It's a pasuk in the Torah of Chiyutin Mayim Alzera. It's a whole mesechta that discusses this halacha of Hechsher, mesechas machshirin, but that's the halacha that no food will ever become tummy unless it has Hechsher. And the Gemara says that this halacha is only by food. This halacha doesn't apply to kalim. By utensils, there's no such halacha. They don't have to get wet in order for them to be able to come tame. So therefore, the Gemara says you cannot learn one from the other. You can't learn food from utensils because food is different. Because food is more chomer, food always requires hechsher. So on that, the Gemara has a response. Amar Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua, peirois shaloi hukshiru, that peirois that are loy hukshiru that don't have hechsher, kitaner shaloi nigmara malachtoi dami. That is similar to an oven, a utensil, a kli, shaloi nigmar malachtoi, that you didn't finish making. And the Gemara wants to say that no, really there is a similarity between food items and utensils. Because, true, by kalim, there's no halacha, they don't have to become wet in order for kalim to be able to become tameh. But, there's another halacha by kalim, a different halacha. And the halacha is that utensil, a kli, will never be able to become tame until you finish making it. So long as you didn't finish making the kli will never become tame. And the Gemara says that is similar to the concept of hechsher. Very similar to the concept of hechsher. Just like I have a fruit, the fruit is not complete until it becomes wet. So too, the oven is not complete until it's fully formed, you finish making it, there's no other things that you have to do in order to use this oven, and therefore the Gemara says we should be able to learn one from the other. Now this is a fascinating concept, because everyone understands that when you have a tanner shalei nigmar malachtoi, an oven that's not fully formed, you didn't finish, you have a kli, you didn't finish everything you have to do with the kli, so it's not usable, it's not a kli. It's not the definition of a clear utensil is something that you could use for something. If you didn't finish making it, you can't use it. So if you can't use it, it's not a clear. that I understand why he's not mekabel tumah. The Torah said kelim are mekabel tumah, saying it's not a kli, it's not mekabel tumah. But peiros, you have food items. What's the difference? It got wet. It didn't get wet. Either way, it's edible. You can eat it. It's not attached to the ground. You can eat it. What does that mean? That peiros shleuchshu are similar to a tana. So it seems from the Gemara that the Gemara understood that in some way that when the Torah said that all foods have to get wet in order for them to be able to become tamei, this is the way we understand this halacha is that it's as if the food is not complete. It's not finished its growing process. Somehow. We don't exactly understand why it has to get wet. Just like you understand, the food is not completely ripe, so it's not a food yet. It's not completely edible. So too, in some way, so long as the food didn't get wet, it's also not completely finished. It's not completely edible. Yeah, technically you could eat it. You could eat fruit before it becomes ripe too. Might not taste so good, but you could eat it. Technically you could eat it, but it's not completely finished. So this idea, so you see from this Gemara, a big chiddush in the halacha of Heksher. The halacha that all fruits and foods need to become wet in order before they become kabel tumah, because it's not considered a food, it's not a complete food until it is complete. And the truth is that it's said over in the name of Reb Chaim, that this idea, in order to answer a kasha that's asked by Tosfos, the Gemara says that although the halacha is that that all foods need to become wet in order for them to be kabel tumah, there's one exception. And that exception is food that belongs to hektish. Food that belongs to hektish, the halacha is that it does not require any water, it does not require to become wet, to become tamei. And the Gemara says why? Chibas HaKodesh Machshirosan. The fact that it has a significance, that it's hektish, that gives it a chashivas, and therefore it is similar as if it's already got wet, and the difference makabel tumah even though it never got wet. The Gemara says that there's another place where the Gemara says this same exact rule of chibas hakodesh, and the Gemara says it regarding a different halacha. The Gemara says that when something belongs to hektish, even if it's technically not a food, it's not edible, it's a piece of wood. The Gemara says it's eitzim, it's wood, or it's levoina, it's the type of incense that burns on the mizbeach. It's not edible. It's not something you could eat. Nevertheless, it is mekabel tumah if it belongs to hektish. So if you have a piece of wood that doesn't belong to hektish, it'll never be mekabel tumah. It's not edible. It's not a food. But something which belongs to hektish, suddenly there's a halach of chibas hakodesh, and now it's mekabel tumah. So Tosfos asks, so very nice, we have two different halachas over here. We have one halacha that says that something that belongs to hektish doesn't require getting wet, doesn't need heksher. And there's another halacha that even things that are technically not foods, they're still mekabel tumah. But how can I learn both of them out of the same pasuk? I'm learning the halacha of chibas hakodesh. What does one have to do with the other? There's two different halachas. I should need two psukim. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says, no. That really, both these halachas are based on the same idea. Because what we see from our Gemara is that the whole idea of heksher, that peiros, that food needs to get wet, is the pshat that it's not considered a food. It's not 100% a food until it gets wet. So it's as if the food is not ripe. It's as if the food is not completely edible until it becomes wet. That's how the Torah defines heksher. So if that's how the Torah defines heksher, and nevertheless the Torah said that by hektish you don't need that extra step, that extra stage that it has to get wet. So too we see from there that even things that are technically not edible, the Torah says, because the chashivas of hektish, it's as if it's edible, and therefore it can be mekabel tumah. So even pieces of wood, if they belong to hektish, they could be mekabel tumah. Because it's as if they're already complete. It's as if they're already a regular food, and therefore they could become tamei. This is what we see from our Gemara. The problem with the Gemara is that there's another Gemara. And this other Gemara is on Daf Kuf Yuches Amid Beis and Chulin. And the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yuches Amid Beis and Chulin, the next Amid of Gemara, the Gemara seems to say the exact opposite. The Gemara has a machloikis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says, Yesh Yad L'Tumo V'Ein Yad L'Hechsher. Rav says, although there's a halach of yad for tumah, which means that if the tumah touches a stem, a yad, so it makes the food that's attached to a tamei, nevertheless, we don't say the halach of yad by heksher, which means to say that we said that the food can't become tamei until it becomes wet. So what happens if the food didn't become wet, but the stem became wet? So maybe we'll say that the stem became wet, it's as if the food became wet. Just like we say, if the stem touched the tumah, it's as if the food touched the tumah, and it becomes tameh. So maybe we should say the same thing? Rav says no. Rav says that the food itself has to become wet, and if the stem becomes wet, that we do not say the halacha of yad does not apply to hechsher. Rabbi Yochanan argues. Rabbi Yochanan says yesh yad the tumah and yesh yad the hechsher. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes? The Gemara says that they are arguing in svara. What's the machlokes? The Gemara says, Mar sovar hechsher tchilas tumahu, umar sovar hechsher lav tchilas tumahu. Hechsher tchilas tumah means that hechsher, when a food becomes wet, that is tchilas tumah. That's the first step in order for something to become tameh. That means that the Gemara is saying that every food, in order to become tameh, has to touch something tameh. Something tameh has to touch the food in order for it to become tameh. If the food never touched something that was never touched the sherets, never touched the tameh mace, so obviously it's never tameh because it never touched something tameh. So the Gemara is saying, just like there is a step in order for something to become tamei is it has to actually touch something tamei. So too, there's really two steps. First, it has to become wet. Then it has to become tamei. There's always two steps in the tuma process. You know, so and the other man damer says no, hechsher is not tchilas tuma. So Rabbi Yochanan says that there's a two-step process, that hechsher is tchilas tuma. So if the Torah said that there's a concept of yad by tuma, there has to be a concept of yad by hechsher. So it has to work for hechsher as well, because it's a two-step process. And Rav disagrees. Rav says, no, the concept of hechsher has nothing to do with tuma, and therefore it's not a two-step process, and the chiddush of yad only applies to tuma, that doesn't apply to hechsher. Fine. So this is a machlokes amirah between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the Gemara by us, on Kufi Chesam et Aleph, is not a machloikis. The Gemara is discussing a brisa. We're learning where this halachas that apply to everybody. So the Gemara on Amid Aleph says that everyone agrees that the concept behind Heksher has nothing to do with Tchilas Tumah. It has to do with the fact that it's not considered a food until it gets wet. And that's the idea behind Heksher. And the Gemara on Amid Beis seems to say, according to one man to Amar, has a whole different idea. It has no shaykhis. It has to do with the fact that there's a two-step process of becoming tameh, and the first step is it gets wet, and the second step is that the dover tameh actually touches it. So you could say, yeah, we'll say that the whole Gemara on Amid Aleph is only going according to the man to Amar, that Heksher is not Tchilas Tumah. But the Gemara on Amid Aleph seems to be going according to everybody. How are you going to fit the Gemara on Amid Aleph? It's not going to fit with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that holds that Hechsher is Tchilas Tumah. So the truth is that we can understand the Gemara by us. Now, with this, that the Gemara compares Perish Lehuchsher to a Tanish Lehnigma Malachdoi, we can understand this. There's a whole different way to understand it. That the Gemara doesn't mean to be saying exactly that the food that doesn't have a Hechsher is not considered a food at all, and it's as if it's an unripe food. No, the Gemara on Amid Beis says that the halach of Hechsher is a halach in Tumah. It's a first step to Tumah, definitely according to Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara over here means something completely different. But in order to understand this Gemara, we have to know two very important rules. The first rule is that we said before that only foods are Mekabel Tumah. Things that are non-foods, something that's not edible, is not Mekabel Tumah. What about something which is edible? It's physically edible, but it's not something that people usually eat. Whatever it's a type of food that's technically edible, but it's not something that it's the derech of most people to eat. So the halacha is that it's not mekabel tumah. The halacha is, besides the fact that every food needs to be edible in order to be considered a food mekabel tumah, there's a new halacha. That every oichel, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tumas Oichel Perek Gimel, every oichel, every food needs to be miyuchad la'achilo. It has to be something which is specifically set aside to be eaten. Which means either it has to be something which most people in the world, or at least in this area, assume that most people eat it, so therefore it's automatically considered something which people eat. Or it could be something that people don't usually eat, but the owner of the food decided that he wants to eat it. And he wants to eat it, and he had a das, he had intent in his mind, he set it aside that it's going to be a food. And that's enough to make it be a kabel tumah. Now, this machshava, this that he has intent, he has in mind to make it, to eat it, That doesn't affect the halacha whether it technically is a food or technically is not a food. Technically, anything that's edible has a status of a oichel. But the Torah said, the Rambam says it's a drasha. We learn that from a pasuk that there's an extra halacha besides for the fact that every food has to be edible in order to be considered a food. There's another halacha that in order you have to make something, in order to have something to have the ability to be mekabel tumah, it needs a machshava. It needs something that makes it miyuchud to be mekabel tumah. That's one halacha. And this idea that it's, that the machshava is not what makes it edible. It's edible even before the machshava, but the machshava is what gives it this extra halacha that makes miyuchal ma'ichal adam. If you look in the Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kuf Chavda Alam Aleph, you can't be ma'irich now, but the Gemara in Shabbos says that clearly. That's one halacha. The second halacha that we have to know is that the Gemara over here compares Perish Lehukshru to a Tanner Shle Nigmar Malachtai. It's very interesting that the Gemara compares it to a Tanner and more so than any other utensil. Why is that interesting? Because the Mikdash David in his Kuntris on Tyrus says very clearly that he says a Chiddush, he says that really an oven, the ovens that were used in times of the Gemara technically should not be considered a Kli. Because in the times of the Gemara, the way the ovens were made, where their ovens were not like our ovens, that have a, they had a bottom, and they had a hole in the side where you put food in. The way the ovens were made, where they're basically made in the shape of a tube. They were made in the tube, and they were narrow at the top and wide at the bottom, and they used to put them on the ground, and sometimes they used to attach them to the ground, like the Gemara says. But this oven, which is a tube, does not have a base kibble. It doesn't have a place where I could put something inside it. But when I put something inside it, I'm either sticking it to the wall or I'm putting it on the ground. It doesn't have a bottom. A standard kli, the Torah says, in order for something to be considered a utensil, it needs a base kibble. It needs some place, an opening that I can actually put something inside it that will stay inside it and not fall out. An oven is not that. So the Mikdash David says that, so why is any oven mekabel tumah? It's not a kli, it doesn't have a base kibble. Mikdash David says, if you look in the Torah in Parsha Shmini, the Torah says explicitly that all ovens are mekabel tumah. It's before Shep Pasuk. Pasuk says, if you have an oven, it's mekabel tumah, and it's made out of earthenware, there's no way you can't kasher it, you can't put it in the mikvah, and therefore you have to break it. So it's clear from the Pasuk that the oven's mekabel tumah. But says the Mikdash David, it's exeris hakosuv, that it's oven, that oven's mekabel tumah. If not for this Pasuk, I would have said, it's just a hollow tube. Hollow tube is not mekabel tumah. So based on these two rules, if we come back to our Gemara, we could suggest that the Gemara really means a completely different halacha. The Gemara over here is saying, Perish Lehukshru, Ketanish Lehim Ramalachtoi, you know what the Gemara means? The Gemara means that Peirois, all foods, have something very much in common with ovens. What do they have in common with ovens? What they have in common with ovens are, is that you need a special halacha, is a special din that has to be created in order for both of them to be mekabel tumah. Why? Because by oven we said that this that's mekabel tumah is a special halacha. There's a special din that the Torah said that after a certain point it's mekabel tumah. What point is that? Gemara malacha. Not like we said before. Before we said that a taner shel nigmar malacha, you know why it's not mekabel tumah? Because it's not a kli yet. And when I finish it, it will be a kli, it will be a utensil. But according to what we're saying now, according to the Mikdash David, that's not so. Because every oven is never a kli. No oven is ever a kli. Every oven is just a hollow tube. Nevertheless, the Torah said, after a certain point, it gets a halacha. That could be in the Kabbalah Tumah from now on. What point is that? You need to finish it. So that's a special Xeris HaKosuv that you need to finish it. Says the Gemara, the Peiris also, all foods also have a special Xeris HaKosuv that you need to you need them to be finished in order to get their halacha that they're Mekabel Tumah. What is that din that you needed special din to make an order to Mekabel Tumah? That special din is Hechsher. Not because until it has Hechsher, it's not considered a food, it's not edible. No, because the Gemara on the base says that Hechsher is a halacha in Hilchos Tumah. It might be mamish tchilas tumah, it might be not tchilas tumah, but it's a special halacha in hilchos tumah. That in order to get this halacha, that now it's miyuchad, it has the ability to be mekabel tumah, that requires hechsher. And therefore the Gemara says that both these two things, the foods that need hechsher and the ovens that have to be completed, these are special halachas that enable them to be mekabel tumah, and therefore they are considered the same and they should have the same halacha.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 888-485-8223 to sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal. Please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.